Today's scripture, a reading from Matthew 3, 1 through 17, page 2 of the New Testament. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able to, from these stones, to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, Let it be now so, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from the heavens said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased."
So before I begin preaching, I will just deal with the elephant in the room, because I'm not sure that all of you know the information that has gone on this week, and certainly our live stream people may not know this news. But on Thursday night, when our administrative ministries met, I gave them my notice of retirement. I will be retiring as your pastor effective on June 30th. That will be my last Sunday with you. Somewhere in the end of June, we will have a celebration of my ministry with you and our ministry together. This is always a tough decision. I will try very quickly to put some of your myths at rest, probably aren't true, because I've been asked some questions. I am not going to another church to serve, because if I were, you would have gotten a different kind of letter. So I'm not going anywhere else to continue preaching and doing ministry. I'm not sick that I know of, but the next time I go to the doctor, who knows what I'll be told, because that's how life works. So I'm not leaving for any medical reason. I'm not leaving of any scandal that I'm aware of, and that's how many people leave their ministries. So what is in the future for Joe and for Rob? We are going to continue to live in Altadena. We're not selling our home and moving to some exotic location to park ourselves under palm trees and drink Mai Tais or whatever for the rest of life. I'm going to continue to be working my other job at Kaiser. For those of you who don't know, I work here half-time. I work at Kaiser Permanente as a hospice chaplain. 3 days a week, I will continue to show up there for work, because that is how I make our health insurance happen. So until we go on that magic thing that some of you know well called Medicare, I have to continue working to have health insurance for our family. So that will be just part of my life's journey. I just won't be working 6 days a week. I'll only be working 3 days a week, and then ease into that ultimate retirement when I work no days a week. So that's what's in store. We have a lot to do between now and June 30th. We have to get through the wonderful cycle of Lent and Easter and Pentecost and have those amazing celebrations and moments. We have a stewardship drive to do in the spring. We have new leaders to find. We have an annual meeting to get through. You need to say goodbye to me, and I need to say farewell to you. You'll start a new year on July 1, and I will start a new year on July 1. And I have to tell you, I know it's a lot of sadness in the room, but also a lot of joy for what's to come in new life. I realize in the book of Ecclesiastes, in chapter 3, you know that so well, where there's a list of the opposites of what happened in life. Well, one that I would add to the list is there is a time to say hello. That happened on February the 7th, 1999. It was my first Sunday with you 20 years ago to say hello. On that day, I had no idea when it was going to be time to say goodbye. But now we know, and it will be June 30th of 2019. It's been a wonderful 20 years. I can't thank you enough for the gift that you've been in my life. I've spent a third of my life with you, and that's kind of sobering and hard to believe when I stop and think about it, but it has been incredible, and I thank you for that. So we will go on to a sermon about this crazy guy, John the Baptist, and Jesus, and what this is all about. So the sermon title today is A Sacrament of Solidarity. So I'm going to try to unpack this weird story, and it begins with your encounter of meeting John the Baptist for the very first time. You heard about him in some of the early stories of Jesus' life. Whether they were cousins or not, it depends on which gospel narrative you read. But there was a connection, obviously, at some point with these fellas early on in their life, but now they're adults and they're meeting at the Jordan River. Now, when you read about John the Baptist, you're taken back a bit. It's probably one of the strangest gospel narrative pieces. They go on to great detail about not only what he looked like, but what he ate for lunch. I don't think there's any other place in the Bible that really describes anyone's daily eating habits. So this tells us something. Tells us that this guy stands out like a sore thumb, if you know that expression. If he walked in here right now, all of you would kind of be looking over your shoulder or around back saying, I wonder who that guy is. You might even be saying, I wonder why he's here. Because he did stand out like that in a crowd. And if his looks alone aren't enough to give you a little cause for concern, you heard him speak. Now, we hear of preachers who are hellfire and brimstone. You don't usually get that here. But you can go to some places and get it. And if you want to know how they got to know to preach that way, just listen to John the Baptist in today's text. It is not a way to build a community, to start a church, and probably to get people to sign up for your team. Because he began to tell them everything that was wrong. And so his Jewish audience, hearing this ranting out in the desert, would have turned and run in the opposite direction as quickly and as fast as they could. First of all, they did not need what he had to offer. They didn't need to go down in these waters and be cleansed, because they went down into the waters all the time and lived as pure a life as possible, so they thought. And they said to him very quickly, we are sons and daughters of Abraham, and through Abraham and his descendants, we are the chosen people. We have our path to God. We don't need what you have to offer. Now, those Gentiles might need this gift, and you go talk to them all you want, but John, we're fine. And that's the setting of the story when Jesus steps into the scene. Walks up to the riverbank and says to John, I'd like to be baptized. I'd like to take on this gift you're offering the crowd today. And John says, well, wait a minute. I don't think you need to be baptized. I don't think this gift is for you. Just go on about your business. And Jesus said, no, I'd like to be baptized. And then he says something that we really can't figure out, that it's just part of the plan of righteousness. John said, whatever, come into the water. He baptized him. I'll get to the end later. So today we're talking about Jesus' baptism. It is the starting point, if you will, of all of his earthly work. It is a beginning point. It was his time to say hello. So why are we baptized? Why do we follow Jesus into that river? What is this all about? So I thought about solidarity. Our baptism really puts us in solidarity with Jesus and his own willingness and desire to be baptized. So I'm going to talk about two aspects of that, the solidarity that comes through connection, and then the solidarity that comes through commitment. First is a solidarity of connection. When we go down into those baptismal waters, or the pastor scoops up the water out of the font and puts it on our head, however the water is administered, it is a symbolic act. We go down into the water to die, to leave our past behind, to give up whatever we're doing, however you want to think about it. Something happens in that water and we're changed. We come up out of the water as new creations, as new people, ready to embrace a new beginning and a new life. But when we go down into that water, it is a claim that we belong, that we are a child of God, that we know our roots, we know to whom we belong. And that makes the connection, which keeps us connected for the rest of our life. To work in our spiritual journeys to keep that connection with God. It's a way, if you will, to identify and say, who are you? I am a child of God. I want to tell you a story from the novel, The Color Purple. Many of you know that. You either know it as the novel or the movie or the musical. But in that story, Celie, the main character, has a couple of children that she sends off to Africa with her sister. Her sister has been called to Africa to be a missionary, and she just feels it's going to be a whole much better environment for her sister to raise her children there than in the struggles that Celie experiences here. And in time, her son grows up into a young man, and he falls in love with a young woman in the village where his aunt preaches the good news. And he avows his love to this young lady and wants to marry her and wants to bring her home to America to meet Celie and perhaps start a new life. And she refuses his invitation. He will not accept his proposal for marriage because she is afraid that he will somehow discard her when he gets to America. And the reason that she holds up in her tribe, when you move from childhood to adulthood, the initiation rites for women were such that your facial skin is cut and marked and scarred with marks of identity. And she knew in her community it might be a sign of beauty, but she knew that elsewhere in the world she might be shunned. When he heard her reason, he went and had his face cut and marked with identical cuts and marks to show the power of connection, to show that we belong together. In our baptism, Jesus takes on our human scars and marks, comes into our reality of life and existence, and becomes one with us. That is the solidarity of connection that comes through baptism. The second aspect of solidarity is one of commitment. This is the starting moment of what Jesus will do in earthly ministry. It is, if you will, the starting blessing. God said, "This is my son with whom I am well pleased." It is a blessing sending him forth out into the world, what I will do with you in just a few minutes when this service ends. It's the same gift you receive every Sunday at the close of worship. a blessing to send us forth, to send us into commitment. Baptism isn't just an event. You're done. I've made it to the pearly gates. I don't need to worry about anything else. I don't have to do anything. I'm in. That's not baptism. Baptism is a starting point of a long journey. Jesus went from that place to pick up his toolbox, if you will, his gifts, his ability, his call to ministry. And he went about doing on this earth what we know as kingdom building. Every teaching he gave, he started off, the kingdom of God is like. And he told a story and told you a different way that we're going to do this work together to build what God wants for us here. Not to wait for some future day in glory, but to build God's world here and now. It's a call to commitment. It's a call to service. It's a call to ministry. It's the story that Sherry shared in the sharing of our faith. That's just one example of many. I could spend the rest of the day here telling you examples of your stories of commitment. She basically gave you an opportunity. You didn't know what that opportunity was. She spoke of a need, a pretty broad need, working with foster families, kids falling through the cracks, people who may not know that someone loves and cares for them. You heard that you gave out of the goodness of your heart and the blessings of your pockets, and you gave her enough money that God could use those tools, if you will, out of the toolbox and make something amazing happen. Do you ever remember what it was like to get your first car? Can you imagine how that young man feels right now to have his first car? If you will, it's only got two wheels, but for him, that's all he needs. Can you imagine the joy that some unknown group to him have brought him by getting him a bicycle built just for him and his needs that will get him to work where he can go use his gifts and skills? Do you see what you've built with the tools out of your toolbox? That is what you do in baptism. You look in your toolbox and you see what tools you've got. What are your gifts? What are your abilities? What are your passions? And you put them to work. That is the solidarity of commitment that we stand with Jesus in baptism. And when it's all said and done, when your baptism takes place, when you're blessed every Sunday, you hear the same words. My daughter, with you I am well pleased. My son, with you I am well pleased. Are there any better words we can hear than that gift of blessing? We stand in solidarity with Jesus and his baptism through our own, to realize that we're connected in beloved community and that we're committed to be partners with Jesus in building God's world here and now. Amen.